You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, say it again. Bryant McFadden used to play for the Steelers.
Okay.
Quote, ooh, Omar is working, referring to their front office. The Steelers are very close to landing a significant playmaker. Playmaker. Okay? Hashtag, here we go. Hashtag, stay tuned. Our people have done some work behind the scenes and found out that indeed this is referring to a wide receiver. And there are some in the Steelers community that believe that the 49ers are the target of this tweet. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
We have a rebuttal.
Official formal rebuttal?
On the possibility of Brandon Ayuk or Debo being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers, an anonymous league source tells 95.7 The Game, quote, nothing is going on there involving the 49ers.
So there is no there, is what you're saying.
Correct.
With the 49ers and a possible Pittsburgh deal.
Correct.
All right.
So I'm back to breathing easy again.
Put that baby right to bed.
Yeah.
And we got action, is Bryant McFadden's tweet, and he was talking about, what, the Niners and another team that possibly could be involved?
The other name that came up was Cortland Sutton, who I feel like the Broncos have been flirting with the idea of trading for over a year and a half.
Okay.
That was the only other name that came up. What other wide receiver is, quote, available right now?
Well, Tyler Boyd is still unsigned, right, this hour?
Yeah. Landing a significant playmaker. If you tweet, ooh, about to land a significant playmaker, and you sign Tyler Boyd, I think the fan base should be like, back to Wiggins.
He's a wide receiver 3.
Correct.
And Cortland
Sutton.
What
he has been, yeah.
Sutton is a 1, but only because, I mean, Denver's not very good.
Well, he's a 1 because Judy didn't work out. Judy was supposed to be the 1, and he wasn't. So, yeah, that's the only name at this point that's kind of known. I think there's others out there that could percolate. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I have no idea how quickly anything like this happens. But I look around the league, and I think to myself, okay, like, how is the Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle thing going to work out in due time? Jalen Waddle is actually the one who's experiencing in Miami what people think Brandon Ayuk is experiencing here. The whole, like, I'm way too good to not be getting more targets. I don't think Brandon is that, like, at least my sense and the people I talk to, I don't think that's bothering him that much. Does it bother him? It bothers every receiver that they don't get the ball on every play.
Every play, right.
So yes, but is it like something where he wants to leave? I think not.
No, we talked to TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, and TJ said, I think no less than 5 times, he just wants to get paid. He
wants to pay.
He wants to get paid. He wants to stay. He wants to be paid. And everything else will work itself out after that. And even though he doesn't get the ball as much as many of the guys, he's still manages to rack up yards that most other receivers don't.
I'm looking around the league. I know, you know, Justin Jefferson is up for an extension. The Vikings are going to get that done. CeeDee Lamb is up for an extension. The Cowboys are going to get that done. You know, who else is out there that would be a big name? The Bills have already done all of their work. I don't know. Odell Beckham is still on the market. He's available. Is that a significant playmaker?
I don't think so anymore.
Used to be.
Right? Jalen Waddle's an interesting one because he got extended, and his deal ends at the end of 2025, so two more years with Miami, and he's making, next year he'll only make 8.6 on the cap, and then the year after that is when his extension kicks in and he makes 15.6 at that point.
I would imagine Miami has no interest in giving up somebody who is outperforming his contract. But at the same time, again, I don't believe that Jalen Waddle is extremely happy with the way that offense runs.
Right, and it goes back to the point that we've discussed with the 49ers over and over again, and that is the idea of a team wanting to pay two receivers more than $25 million. And I know Tyreek Hill's contract at the end of it is mostly funny money, but Jalen Waddle at the end of next year, when he's going to be entering the final year of his deal, he probably is going to want an extension. And is Miami going to be in a spot where they want to give him huge money? So that's actually an interesting name as it pertains to a wide receiver who could be potentially a target.
Yeah, we'll follow that situation. But the further we get through this week and this weekend, the more comfortable I get with where the 49ers currently sit. I'm not someone who is going to overreact to names that we've got to see if they can play in the league. And I mean that about everybody now. Like, I know how fun it is. I was listening to the roast this morning. They have an interesting conversation about the landscape of the NFC. And Spadone even jumped in and was like, hey, the Bears might be good. And he's not wrong. C.J. Stroud, as a rookie, made the Texans good. And he's got incredible weapons all over the place now. Incredible names.
Yeah.
And many of them have performed in the league. DeAndre Swift is on the Bears now. The Bears receiving core has been a disaster for I can't even remember how long. Now DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and you draft Rome Odunze, that gets super interesting. Maybe they're good. Maybe they're still the Bears. And that division is difficult because Detroit is already good and Green Bay is already good. And I don't know exactly what's happening with Minnesota's quarterback situation, right, but it's a quality organization that gives people problems. And so, you know, that division could be excellent. We know the NFC West could be excellent. We know the NFC East could be excellent. I don't know about those bottom two teams and what exactly they're doing. And now the Falcons join the ranks of viable teams.
They were just a quarterback away last year, and now they've got a quarterback, assuming Kirk Cousins can play through the Achilles operation and be healthy enough to go. They've got all kinds of weapons down there in Atlanta. So
they might even do something crazy this year. Again, league sources tell me that the Falcons are considering, wait for this now because this is big.
Okay.
They might give the ball to Bijan Robinson and let him run. Might happen.
That'd be groundbreaking.
Again, I know I'm not the only one who's a little scarred by Bijan Robinson last year.
You did fine, Mark. You won the damn league.
I won in spite of the Falcons coaching staff.
You had both B. Robinsons on your team.
That's right.
As I recall.
And the other one ended up usually being better.
Yeah.
And Bijan that guy might be one of the most talented running backs in the league. And there were weeks where they're just like, we're not going to give him the ball. And then there were weeks where they're like, and now we're not even letting him off the sideline. Healthy and watching.
Right.
What are we doing?
It's a great question.
Yeah, but the NFC gets real interesting. Who can you tell me for sure stinks?
For sure?
For sure. Almost, like, and there's never for sure, but like almost for sure.
I don't think Arizona's very good.
Okay.
I'll
take the New York Giants.
Okay. They're probably not very good. Washington is interesting, but I don't think that they're going to be very good. I still think they're a year away.
Probably. Jaden Daniels, super interesting.
Right.
But, yeah. And then Carolina. Carolina's another one where I'm like, that's not good. They're not good.
Right.
So, and then past that.
What about New Orleans? What are we thinking about New Orleans?
They're limited. They could be okay.
Yeah.
Like, they're one of those teams that's battling to go 9-8 every year in that division.
True.
They could do it again. They could go 10-7. The Bucks, same kind of thing. And now the Falcons, I think their ceiling's a little bit higher. But the number of teams that we can go through and be like, they're not ready or they're not good, like, you're not even going to use your whole hand.
Right. I mean, we got to like four, maybe five teams right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the West, you've got the Rams and Seattle. They're going to be good. Not great.
They but, could be.
Right. And the Niners should be.
The Rams could be really good. Or not. But they could be.
Right.
I don't know how well. I know they drafted hard to replace Aaron Donald over the weekend. And so if those guys perform, I mean, my God, you want to talk about a receiving core now.
Yep.
Like, that, this is pretty dynamic. So
if and they can, Philly as well. Great receiving core.
Yep.
And yep. A quarterback who has been phenomenal in the regular season. Dallas looks to be the same Dallas they were last year, which means 12-5 and see you later in January.
Maybe. Dallas did a big old we didn't get better campaign this offseason. And I'm trying to figure out why. Like, they just did, they just kind of sat there and watched everything go by. Certainly in free agency. I know they made picks and maybe they're good, you know. They need to address running back. They bring back Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
Like, I'm not too clear. Like, they're already talented, so I guess that, you know, we're talking at about a pretty high level, but I'm not clear on what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. I don't know what their approach is right now.
Yeah. Maybe it's wait and see. They're taking the wait and see approach. And Tampa should be good again.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, you know.
I know you have a crush on Baker.
Not a crush. I'm just impressed with what he's done to resurrect his career. He had a good year last year.
We are sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And then I also want to tell you one other thing. And this is cool. Now you got to listen now. Because I know, you know, we sit here on the radio and we talk about, you know, campaigns and things like that. I really want you to listen to me on this one. This is one that I have used my own money to buy prior to them having anything to do with 95.7 The Game. So La Garza Sports Camp, my son went last year and just came home smiling and tired every day.
Smiling and tired.
And if you're a parent, there are no two words that go better together. Okay? So you should send your kid to La Garza Sports Camp this summer. It's really good. Their coaches are always awesome. They find good people that really love to work with the kids. That was a great experience for us last summer. We'll do it again. And if you'd like to win a $500 credit to La Garza Sports Camp for your kids this summer, make sure you are listening at 4 o'clock to find out how to win. Okay? We'll keep going with the draft reaction, but a little something out of the Suns organization. Coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
No joke, Dibs is like 12 pounds. You're like 12 pounds. You're wearing medium t-shirts confidently in the room on the show. Shout out Dipsy Trail. It's where I like to go do my morning air quotes workouts. They're short.
It's crazy up there.
Dude, no, those are some steep stairs.
Steep. 676 of them.
Yep.
And
then I do them, and then I go home and make eggs.
Yeah. I mean, that's it.
Well,
I'd have to hit it. The elevator now. My knees aren't what they were when I got this medium, and I just looked it up. I finished, I think, 480th place that year.
Oh, nice.
Not terrible. Hour and 10.
Out of how many people?
It's like 1,400 usually.
Yeah.
But it's a handicapped race where, based on your age and your gender, they start you at different times.
Got it.
So
how far do you go?
It's 7 miles.
Okay, you just go to
downtown Mill Valley.
You go to Stinson.
To Stinson Beach.
Okay, I've hiked it. I've done the hike.
It's one of the most beautiful hikes in the world.
But you got to come back?
No.
You just go one way?
One way.
Okay.
So you have
Thank God, because even to walk it, I'm like, I'm tired.
Well, I ran the double Dipsy once where you start at Stinson.
What the hell is that?
Start at Stinson, you run to Mill Valley, and then back to Stinson.
Why would you do that?
It's a fun race.
It's a terrible idea. Sounds incredibly painful.
It's not as painful as the quad Dipsy. Where you go Stinson to Mill Valley to Stinson to Mill Valley back to Stinson.
Sometimes the I just quad. Walk around in life and look at things people do, and I'm like, I don't know why you're doing that.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Why are you doing that? That does
Fun.
Not... Well, yeah, for like the first half hour.
Yeah.
Then it's just pain.
Agony.
Anyway.
Not right. to mention the chafing.
There is that.
He's trying to get grandiose well, uncomfortable in there, but he's... He's dialed in.
We'll get back to the Niners, but I wanted to. I know that this is at least parenthetically on people's minds as you watch major names get ready to just dipsy on out of the NBA playoffs. See you, LeBron. Probable. Giannis is still in street clothes, down 3-1, and the Phoenix Suns just unceremoniously booted in the face. And I was, boy, was I big wrong when I said that there would be no walkover series in the Western Conference. Minnesota flicked them. And is it you that's been saying you watch the Suns play and they just look like they hate each other?
Hate ball.
Hate ball.
They play hate ball.
All right.
And you can see it from Kevin Durant every time down the floor. When he doesn't have the ball, he stands on the weak side and he either is clap, clap, clapping for the ball. Or his hands are just on his hips.
Well, the report that came out from Shams today is that that's exactly what Kevin was upset about, was that that's what they asked him to do. And go stand in the corner. He's like, what do you think I am, PJ Tucker? We're not doing this.
Who are you?
But they did it all year. So, we will not be the first to say that when you look at the Phoenix Suns, it appears to be incredibly poor roster construction. I had a somewhat lengthy conversation with sources deep within the Phoenix Suns community.
Deep, deep, deep.
And I can tell you that just about, like, I'll give a big statement and then we can dive a little deeper.
Okay.
Just about everything that you've thought and said about the Phoenix Suns, and when I say you, I mean me, and I mean all of you listening. Just about everything that it looks like, it is that. It's exactly that. On TV and not on TV. It is not a group that is interested in staying together. How do you get out of it? I don't know. You just looked at the contracts a second ago.
Yep.
And threw a number at me that I don't even know how to comprehend.
The number is $500 million with a B, dollars. That they owe Durant, Beal, and Booker. And I approximated it. It's an approximation sensation.
Good job.
Kevin Durant, 2 years, $106 million.
Yep.
Bradley Beal, 3 years, including a player opt. 3 years, $160 million. They owe him. Book. Devin Booker, 4 years, and it's $221 million that they owe him.
And Booker's not going anywhere. That's Booker's team.
Right. So if you add up the remaining amounts owed to Durant, Beal, and Booker, it's just shy of $500 million. And that's for 2 more years of KD. Miserable. 3 more years of Bradley Beal. Give me the ball so I can shoot. And 4 more years of Devin Booker. This is my team. I'm not going anywhere. So how do you fix it? I mean, you get somebody to take on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, 35 years old. You owe him $105, $106 million.
Still really good.
Really good.
He's still really good.
But you're asking a team to give up $106 million, or actually $51 next year. Well, $51 million worth of assets, roughly.
Do you want to know? I'm mad at myself for this. And you, but mainly me.
Okay.
No, I want to. Can someone simply give me the answer for what a future first round draft pick is worth in terms of making salaries match in trades?
We should ask Bobby Marks.
I know. That's why I'm mad at myself. Because Bobby was on a week and a half ago, and I didn't ask him that question, and I really want to know. I really want to know how that works. And I've done what you're doing right now. I've Googled it, and I've tried to read, and I can't get a straight answer. It's like talking to a teenager when you Google that. Can't get a straight answer. When's your test? When are you taking that test? Like, I just can't get a straight answer out of the internet. So if somebody knows, and I mean knows, don't be a radio caller that's like, so here's how it works. No, like if you actually know, I would love it if someone would get in touch with us and tell us. And we'll research it some more because it's interesting to think about. I mean, I don't know. That team was good when Chris Paul was on it.
The point guard.
Andrew Wiggins seems like the kind of scorer that Devin Booker would love. Like, just stay over there and get out of my way until I need you.
Yeah.
You know, Moody. Just put it that. I think this came up a month ago in a different form, and I dismissed it completely. But what if Wiggins and Clay were not on the Warriors anymore and Kevin Durant was? Is that interesting to you at all?
No Wiggins, no Clay, but you have KD.
Uh-huh. Is that interesting to you?
It's interesting for sure. I
don't know if it could be made to happen or not.
Yeah. But I'm afraid that Kuminga would probably have to be a part of that if I'm Phoenix. But then again, you're not in a strong position.
You're not in a power position at all.
And Warriors giving up first-round picks. So you do that for 2 more years of KD. Steph, KD, and Draymond.
Kind of lines up perfectly, doesn't it?
And then TJD and Pods and Moody Kuminga. And Kuminga.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be exciting. I'd be interested, but if you're Phoenix,
it's not a great idea, but it's not the worst idea I've ever heard either.
And we are going to be over the next couple of months because you've got until like late June when all of these contracts, like the opt-ins, like LeBron James, he has until June 29th to either opt in or opt out of $51.7 million.
How many people are watching body language on TV tonight?
Oh, for sure.
Who's
and
watching?
You saw the tantrum the other night, right?
Oh, yes.
Where they didn't challenge and he jumped up and down. And
he was right. And I would, look, if my name's Darvin Ham and LeBron James is literally stomping on the ground like a kid at Disneyland who missed a snack, I mean, just do it. Don't look to your iPad guy and be like, so should we do? Will you just, I don't care what you think. Maybe you still think MJ is the best of all time. I don't care.
He's the GOAT.
Of course he is. Will you just, like, LeBron James, I would imagine, has earned enough respect that if he is pounding his feet into the ground, just challenge the play. I know it didn't affect the outcome of the game. What are you doing? Challenge the play. Of course he was right. He's not going to react like that if he didn't know for sure. It's not like when Draymond does it, and you're like, does he have a point, or is he just overly emotional? You knew LeBron was right. Boy, there's some anger. That fan base is not happy with Darvin Ham.
No. And, you know, there was talk of a mutiny midseason this year, right, where the players wanted Ham out. So I don't even know if he'll be back, whether or not LeBron James opts in or opts out once the Lakers season ends in about 6 hours. That season will be over,
I think. What time does that game start?
It's a 7 o'clock tip.
Is it?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'll give you 6 hours, and then it's a wrap. And then tomorrow we can come in and talk about Steph, Draymond, KD, and LeBron.
We'll be watching that one closely tonight.
For sure.
Very, very closely. The Giants are off. My 10-year-old son has become a just rabid NBA head.
Okay.
I mean, we'll sit there and watch every playoff game in its entirety the whole day if you let him. Absolutely. Like, there's no chance. When I get home, he will tell me everything about what Jason Tatum and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander have done while I was driving home. All of it. So we'll be with a close eye on that game tonight.
Awesome.
I'm very interested to see what the Laker body language is.
And so far tonight in these playoffs, things have gone according to plan in many ways.
For the most part.
Minnesota with the sweep, you didn't want that.
Well,
but
the Milwaukee thing.
The Milwaukee thing is good for Warrior fans'
but
dreams.
The players haven't played. I mean, they haven't played. So I don't know if you do. Do you make sweeping judgments about the Bucks in their future, in that they can't beat the Pacers when Dame Lillard and Giannis aren't playing?
Depends on how you feel about. Yeah. Depends on how Giannis feels about Doc Rivers, because if I can't imagine that Doc keeps that job, and if that's something that Giannis wants or doesn't want, that might affect his willingness to continue to be a Bucks. If they get ousted. Right? Because Indiana's up 3-1, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Indiana's up 3-1.
So Indiana closes them out in 5. The Dame Giannis experiment maybe isn't a permanent thing, and I can't imagine Doc Rivers sticks around for that. How much longer does Giannis want to toil in Milwaukee? You got the one chip, and so you're rooting for Indiana. You know, it'd be nice if Minnesota got bumped off in the next round, but, you know, the Clippers, you want them to lose. Maybe PG decides to take his talents elsewhere. He's a free agent.
Clippers Dallas series is the interesting one.
For sure.
That one's been interesting. The rest of it has been, you're right, it's been a little bit more predictable than I thought.
That game four was crazy.
Which one?
Dallas and the Clippers.
It was unbelievable. They blew it and then they held on. And then and then the Philly Knicks one has been kind of fun too. Joel Embiid, just quick note on that. I thought yesterday he did the one thing that athletes can't do. You can't do it. You cannot get mad at the fans. You can't do it. Like, especially in that city, you cannot get mad at the fans and tell them what they should be doing with their money.
Right.
Like, my God. You may be right. It doesn't matter. You cannot have that conversation in 2024 with fans when NBA players, it's only going to get worse. And you make $50 million, it sounds one way. When you make $70 million, it's going to get worse. When you make $100 million, because it's coming, it's only going to sound worse. Tell people as the 7 seed that they should be holding on to their tickets and not selling them when you've been unhealthy for a good portion of your career and you're about to get knocked out. Of course the place is filled with Knicks fans. They're excited. They're the 2 seed. It's like the first time they've been good in forever. So anyway,
stock down Joel Embiid. And I'm just going to say it. I'll put my name on it. Dirty player.
Why?
He is a dirty player. You saw what he did to the Knicks player earlier in the series where he falls down and he double leg whipped the guy. He could have hurt him. And then last night, Jalen Brunson's just floating down the lane. He puts a shoulder into his face.
I love when
Joel Embiid is a dirty player, Mark.
I love when you do that. Someone could have gotten hurt.
Absolutely.
If
Draymond would have done what Embiid did,
yes,
he would have been arrested on the spot.
Would it have been unforgivable?
Probably, but he would have been forgiven.
And then you would have forgiven him.
It's not up to me to forgive him. That's the head coach. Embiid got a flagrant one. Draymond would have been ejected on the spot, and he would have gotten a 15-game suspension. Double standard. Embiid, 51.4, 55.2, and then a player opt for 59.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hate this about Warrior basketball, but this is our job, this particular playoffs. And it's to watch teams and players who are disappointing and having bad experiences and think about what that might mean. And until we know anymore, all we know right now is the Suns. The Suns are the ones out. And, you know, like, I put it this way. I could see it. I doubt it. And I don't think it's a great idea. But I've heard worse ideas. And I could see it. Especially coming from two dudes, Steph and Draymond, who looked at each other 2 weeks ago and went, "We ain't done. We ain't done." Okay, if you think you're not done, like, what often happens in life? When things get crazy, what do? You try to go with what you know. You go find your people. We know that players and agents talk. I mean, I don't know. You think Steph's lobbed a call to KD yet? I mean, it's already on the internet that he hates it there.
Right.
I don't know.
Of the three highly unlikely possibilities, that's the most likely. Unlikely scenario number one, Lakers lose tonight. LeBron declines his option and convinces the Warriors to get Bronny, and LeBron plays for the mid-level and comes to Golden State. It's probably a 1 in 500 chance of that happening. Milwaukee loses. Giannis is disgruntled. He wants to be traded. The Warriors trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Probably 1 in 800. Kevin Durant disgruntled. We know that. KD wants out. Warriors trade for KD. Probably 1 in 200. Yeah. Less than 1% chance.
Unlikely. But yeah.
Of the three unlikely scenarios, I would say the KD one is the most likely.
I agree with you. I don't know if that's even what they would want to do. But it's potentially accessible, it feels. All right. We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. That's where Dibs has got the medium Dipsy shirt on. If you want to see it, it's pretty pretty good experience. Go to twitch.tv/957thegame. YouTube.com/957thegame. Watch us live. Subscribe to the channel. All of our content on 957 The Game is there all day long. So hit the thumbs up button if you like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. You can also download the free Odyssey app by scanning the QR code in the bottom right corner of our Twitch and YouTube streams. All right. Obviously, we've been reacting a lot to the NFL draft. And I wonder about this. And I think, again, we mentioned it earlier, Grandy is one of them. Like, did you come out of the draft annoyed that the 49ers did not, at least in an obvious way, address offensive tackle and tight end? John Lynch was specifically asked about that, and here's what he said.
We looked at numerous guys throughout the process. I think when you're drafting 31st, it's oftentimes hard to, you know, find a tackle that you really love. And we like our tackles as they stand right now. We like our depth with Jalen Moore being a really talented guy who can play, you know, the swing role. Drafted Kingston, who has some flex at tackle. And we'll continue to always try to improve ourselves, improve the depth of our team. But we're excited about our O-line group. I know a lot of people talk about that, but we feel pretty good about our group.
So he didn't even really get to the tight end thing at all. He made it all about the offensive line. Look, there was high-profile mistakes in the Super Bowl. That's a big part of that, although not a lot of them happened at the tackle position. Most of them happened at the guard. They did address guard a little bit. Listen, here's the only thing that goes through my mind. I would say if you're upset at the way the 49ers treated the offensive line, your response should be, TBD. Don't get mad yet. Get preliminarily. Is that a word?
Preliminarily
yes. Mad. So
pretty mad.
I want you to be mad. I want you to put it in your back pocket. And you can even let the Niners know, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to be mad at you. And you will be right. However, there's a name I want to bring up. One name. And his name is Aaron Banks. Because he was a rookie 2 years ago, and he was a poster for the fact that the 49ers don't know what they're doing as far as drafting big guys, and he's not any good, and I can't believe they did that. Here we go with another miss early in the draft by the 49ers. And then he came back the next year, and he gave up like no sacks ever. He was fantastic. So you can be mad, and I get it, but make it TBD, because maybe the 49ers are going to get production from an offensive lineman that you're not thinking of. You know, he mentions Jalen Moore right there. Like, who's going to do the year two pop? It's a big part of my main point today. I love it, and the Niners are one of these teams. Falcons did it too at a super high-profile level. I love it right now when these NFL teams are drafting not for help right away. They are drafting for year two and year three help, hoping that those players pop then, because I think it is just a much higher success rate. If you ask me next year, look at the teams who have people in key positions who played last year versus the teams who you're interested in because you love the dogs they got in the draft. Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze to the same team, you say? I say probably last place. Probably last place is probably what you're looking at. The Bears would be lucky to get third, in my opinion.
Yeah, depending on how the rookie quarterback plays.
So what you saw, the names that came out over the weekend, I love them too. I really hope they're awesome in 2025.
And they may need them this year, but you hope that they won't. And, you know, Colton McKivitz is the guy where he played 1,040 snaps last year. He played 98%, similar to that sort of trajectory that you talked about with, you know, with Aaron Banks. McKivitz played a little bit as a rookie, then sat for 2 years, and then all of a sudden you got rid of McGlinchey. You needed McKivitz, and he was pretty good last year. He was good, maybe not elite, and you know, maybe you did draft the replacement for McKivitz or Trent Williams over this past weekend. You don't yet know, and I would much rather the team not reach for a tackle at 31 and get the ninth best offensive tackle, because eight had already gone before they picked.
Yeah.
If you like a receiver more in that spot, take the receiver. You're a good enough team to where you don't really have a glaring need at tackle or at guard. If your offensive line was as bad as fans make it seem, you wouldn't have been in the Super Bowl. Let's try to remember that.
Good
I mean,
point.
You don't go all the way really to the Super Bowl with a shoddy, Grandy offensive line. It's not the way it normally works in football.
Right. But, well, no, it never works that way.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, was your O-line, did you have some issues? Sure. Did your guard make a huge mistake at the wrong time in overtime? Absolutely. Does that mean you got to reach for a tackle at 31 because your guard messed up?
Well, it's an interesting sort of thing to break down, right? Like, the offensive line is almost two different things. It's a living, breathing thing. The offensive line is the run line, and then the offensive line is the pass line. And those can be two different things. And the 49ers were more effective in the run than the pass. And that did seem to get to a point where it felt like there was a little bit of a shelf life on some of the things that they were doing in the pass game. You got to the playoffs, and it didn't look the same, right? Or if somebody would go out, if a Debo would go out and whatnot, or Trent Williams misses a game here or there, the whole offense would suddenly look like it would crumble a little bit. And with these receivers coming in, I do think that I hope, in fact, I hope as Brock Purdy becomes a more seasoned player in the NFL, that they do want to throw the ball more and they do want to be more dynamic. I do think it's hard to go up against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl every third year and go, all right, let's see if we can hold Mahomes under 25
right,
again.
Let's win it 20-17.
Crying out loud. It's really hard. So do what they did against the Lions. Let's outscore you. Let's boogie. You score, we score more. I think the Niners could use a little bit more of that. So I get wanting the offensive line to be a little bit more effective in the pass game. We'll see how they shuffle the deck and restructure it a little bit. We'll get to much more on that. Take your calls on it. Andrew Brandt is awesome and an hour away. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises, Willard and Dibbs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, glad you're with us. Andrew Brandt in an hour. Roster construction, business of sports. He's great at all of it. And all of that is still ahead around the corner. Brandon stays. Debo stays. ... for now. But also sounds like probably well into the future as well. Here's Adam Schefter on the situation on the Pat McAfee Show today.
They had inquiries about Brandon Ayuk, and they decided they wanted to try to sign him to a long-term contract that they're still trying to get done. They got a couple of inquiries on Debo. Nothing got close to getting done. And they said over the weekend, and I believe this is the plan, that the plan right now is to move forward with both those guys. Now, here's the deal. Ayuk has not signed that contract. He's headed into the last year of his deal. Juwan Jennings is headed into the last year of his deal. And Debo Samuel is headed into the last year of guaranteed money on his deal that has 2 years left. So clearly, there are wide receiver questions in San Francisco that they're going to have to address. So they got out in front of it this weekend by drafting the two wide receivers that they did, including Ricky Pearsall in round one. And now the Niners don't plan to move on from either of those guys. Now, could that change at some point? Sure, absolutely. And by the way, if there's a team that all of a sudden has a wide receiver injury and makes a big play, could you pry loose one of these guys? It's not what they would like to do. It's not what they're planning to do. It's not what they want to do. But clearly we know that there are some wide receiver questions out in San Francisco.
Okay. And so does that simply mean that it'll happen next March? Maybe. Maybe it'll never happen, by the way. Like, Mike Silver's article, really good sort of, like, draw-you-in headline, and it's actually a very good article, but the basic idea of it is the 49ers kept their guys, and so now we go into the last dance.
Right.
And this is going to be the football version of the Bulls because, A, it's definitely going to be different after this year, number one. And number two, his point was, there could be drama throughout. There's always drama in a football season. It's the 49ers, a lot of eyes on him. But his point being, you've sort of signaled to some of these guys that this is the end. Therefore, their mental state might bob and weave throughout the year as well. Debo's an emotional guy. We've already watched it with the way contract negotiations went. Here's the thing. Maybe this is a weird way to look at it. I don't know if one of these guys is gone after the year. Let's say that does happen. Let's say Ayuk gets an extension. Debo is a cap casualty next March. Does that mean that this was the last dance? I sort of look at this as par for the course. Like, big names will leave. Big names will get old. They will retire. They will be cut. They will be traded. What I want for this 49er team and what I do think is plausible in the NFL is that this lasts a long time. How can it be the last dance when Brock Purdy's going into season three? The idea in the NFL when you have a good quarterback is, no, that's it. You're just good. You're good. The Chiefs each year, oh, we had to get rid of, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. They made some moves in their secondary. The Bills, they're like, yep, we're moving on. No more Stephon Diggs. No more Tre'Davious White. Like, we're moving on. Not making a last dance. You still expecting them to be good next year? Like, I'd like to think the Niners roster is strong enough to withstand this, is my point.
Yeah, and I think it is. And it's because of Kyle and John, and it's also because Parag Marate and what they've done with contracts and how they're able to circumvent the cap through creative restructures and the rest of it. But the idea of the last dance, I think, refers to especially the core offensive players. And you know, in football, with 53 guys in the roster and you dress 46, there's always going to be turnover year to year. But I think the notion of a last dance kind of vibe, for me, it speaks to Kittle and McCaffrey, Trent Williams and Brock, Ayuk and Debo. And you could throw Juszczyk in there as well, because I do think he's a core member of that offense. Defensively, you've got some core guys, but Fred's going to be here. Bosa's going to be here. Dre Greenlaw coming back off the Achilles. He might miss all or the majority of the year. But, you know, for me, the last dance idea is more about the offensive core guys. And if Debo leaves at the end of next year, or if he gets traded before then, it does feel a little bit like the page is turned. It doesn't mean you're going to be like the Chicago Bulls, who went from being champions and being great to being completely almost anonymous overnight. You're not going to be that, because you're going to have one of the better quarterbacks in football, and you're going to have Shanahan and Lynch, and you're still going to have a lot of good players on your team.
We're going to go to the phones on this. I did want to pass this along. It was sent out within the last hour by Shams on the NBA stuff. He writes that there is doubt that Giannis and Dame Lillard will be able to play in a potential elimination game 5 versus the Pacers tomorrow night. They're down 3-1. And both, as he said, have tricky strains that complicate returns and create risk. Like, I look at Giannis and I think of KD. I think of what KD did for the Warriors in the playoffs a number of years ago. And I think that that's the conversation that's going on with the Bucks. It's like, could you play? Yeah, you could play. You want to, like, I don't know, risk the rest of your career? No. Not particularly.
Right.
Okay. Especially with Dame Lillard now dealing with an injury as well. So it looks like this is the Bucks are in a really, really tough spot. And for those of you who are watching what this all means for the Warriors, that absolutely could have some sort of a trickle-down effect with that game tomorrow night.
I guess, but when
No, and I don't even just mean Giannis. Like, right. There's a trickle-down. There's a fallout. There's a fallout when
For
stuff
sure.
like this happens.
Giannis with four years left on his deal, and these numbers are like outer space. 48.8, 68.3, 73.8, 79.2, and that's a player opt. $79.2 million. So, wow, Mark, those are some numbers for Giannis.
Right, but it would also be a second consecutive early exit from the playoffs. And there is fallout when there is a big name, highly paid team that doesn't go somewhere. There will be fallout from the Suns.
Oh, without a doubt.
There will be fallout from the Phoenix Suns.
And for Milwaukee, I don't know what the fallout would be. Unless Giannis is just straight fed up, then you're looking at a $260 million deal that you'd have to find a home for, which is tough to do.
Let's go to Filmo Mike with Willie and Dibby. What's up, Filmo?
Hey, what's up with it, man? All day, y'all been on my boy. And so, first of all, the local team disrespect has gotten to an all-time high. You just said you disrespected Draymond. Interesting story would be, I want to know who people think the most, in terms of basketball IQ, the smartest player in the league. Now, Draymond gets kicked out the game, so he kind of loses it there, but he's a very smart player. With that being said, you guys have been on my guy, Debo. We get emotionally attached to these players, right? And it's not a last dance. Heck, we haven't even had a first dance. What are we talking about? The last dance. It's the last go round for this group. Yes,
Filmo.
Mike Silver, the last dance.
How have we been on Debo? What? Explain what we've said.
You, Guru, Shasky, the whole station.
What's the opinion?
Like Debo's not here. You guys have been acting like Debo's not a part of this team.
How so?
Like he's a has been. Everybody on the station, and it's very, his family could be listening. They're gonna be like, man, we don't need to be in San Francisco because they don't love Debo Samuel. Based on what you guys have been saying all day, Debo's still on the team. He's still here. We have to get the job done. That's the fact of the matter. It hurts my heart. Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, that great of a team didn't get a Super Bowl. They have to get a Super Bowl done, man. So don't kick Debo off the team yet. He's still on the team. Why are we talking about 2 years from now when he's not on the team? We acting like he's not here.
Filmo,
he's still here.
Filmo, there is one point that I have thread through the last 2 weeks. One point and one point alone. Kick the can down the road. I'm not ready for Brandon or Debo to not be on the team. And all I've said is deal with it next March, because we don't even know. We don't know what the salary situation's going to be. We don't know who performed, who underperformed, who stayed healthy, and who didn't. I the only point that I will give you is that I have said that if it comes down to Brandon or Debo, I would put my chip in Brandon's corner. But my very, very clear hope has been that both of these guys stay, because you would be worse if they didn't. I can't speak to what is being said on all shows. I understand where you're coming from. I sort of take issue with getting lumped in there. That's all I've said. That's all I've said for a week and a half.
I mean, we should talk about that when it gets there. What we should be talking about is how is the receivers, the rookie receivers, going to, you know, put their imprint onto the game. How puny is going to impact and possibly break the line. You guys talk about like the offensive line, but y'all don't say like the offensive line. So y'all act like the offensive line is raw. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you guys give exception for the offensive line, but we don't give exception for Debo Samuel. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't see it, to be honest with you, Filmo. Much love. I don't like, it's April. It's April. We're not breaking down the game this week. We're breaking down how the 49ers have taken yet another step in reconstructing their roster, and for now, that includes Debo Samuel, which is all that I've been wanting the whole time. I didn't want to trade. You didn't want to trade.
Nobody's running Debo off the team. We're looking at the possibility down the road. And the weekend went by, and they didn't trade Debo. And now there's a report that Pittsburgh thinks they're close to getting a receiver. And people in Pittsburgh think it's either Ayuk or Debo, possibly. And so it's a discussion point again. Although I think it's very, very unlikely at this point that the Niners move off of Debo between now and next March.
I think beyond unlikely, and even more unlikely in the near term, this Steelers thing, which we've already said, our league sources say that there's nothing going on there. So maybe it's someone else. First off, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.